Welcome to the Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of the Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, Saints, and welcome to Mission Watch Live, another Messiah's Branch national satellite radio program. We are broadcasting from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is October 10th, 2013. Correction, folks. It's the 10th month, and it's the third day. That's where I made the mistake. But anyway, welcome to Mission Watch Live. We are warning the world as it happens. If you need anything after this program, please call me. If you need a prayer, you can also call me for that. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. And in emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Folks, you can always find updates with the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address, which is at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com, prophecyhour.com. And, folks, we are finding that there is at least 15% of the people out there that do not use the Internet. So if you need to call me for anything, if you're listening on satellite radio or some other way, by telephone, you can just simply call me for any information. Tonight we have a really important program for you. Now prayer, as with all programs. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not my will, nor my guest's will. So please give us all ears in which to hear the truth. Amen and amen. Well, tonight's program was supposed to be Jerome Croce. I've had his new book, and we were supposed to give a talk. He was supposed to talk about it. The new book is called Who Really Can't Kill Kennedy. Yesterday afternoon, the publicist for WorldNet Daily contacted me, and they said that they have a different date. Well, since yesterday, I tried and tried to find someone to fill in this spot, really to no avail. In this long process, I asked my old friend, Stan Johnson of the Prophecy Club, if he was available today. He said he was busy, but he said he would cancel if I could not find a fill-in. Well, I couldn't find a fill-in, but I think he was supposed to do this program tonight, as he sent me the subject matter for a program with him before we went on the Feast of Tabernacles. The subjects are, is the Antichrist coming from America? Then he says, no, and why not? Is America Mystery Babylon? And why Syria was to be the trick switch to set off a series of suitcase nukes across America if we had attacked Syria. But we'll ask him about these things. I'd rather hear Stan talk to me, so welcome, Stan Johnson.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad to be here. Well, what would you like to talk about?
Well, I just gave you three subjects. You sent me three subjects, and
which of the three?
Okay, let's start with number one, see where that takes us.
Okay, I do not think the Antichrist is coming from America, and I know that so many people do, and for the life of me, I can't find out where they are getting this in the Scripture. It's not in Daniel's statue. There's nothing in Daniel's statue of Daniel chapter 2 that says anything about America. It is not one of the four beasts. is not going to happen. So then that brings us to the next big question. Well, if the Antichrist is not coming from America, then where's he coming from? And, of course, I've had a lot of people email me and say, well, is Obama the Antichrist? Well, you know, I think he as a matter of fact, I was playing racquetball a couple of weeks ago sitting next to a guy, and he just turned to me out of the blue and says, man, I think this Obama is a loon. I said, no. I said, I don't think he's a loon. Actually, I think he's very intelligent. I do think that he's an illegal alien, a communist, and a Muslim, but I don't think he's a loon. I think him and people above him are very intelligent. They know exactly what they're doing. Unfortunately, their objective is to kill this nation, not to see it prosper. Okay, so is Obama the Antichrist? No. I think I would not deny that he is an Antichrist. I don't think he is the Antichrist. For one, it's too soon, but there's a lot of other reasons. Okay, so if the Antichrist is not coming from America, is Obama not the Antichrist, then where's the Antichrist coming from, and what might we do to be able to spot this guy? I believe he's going to be a son of Ishmael. The oldest fight in the book is talking about the fight between Ishmael and Jacob, and I believe he'll be a son of Ishmael. I believe he will be Arab, but I do not believe he will be Muslim. Excuse me. Daniel says that he will not regard the God of his fathers. I believe his fathers will be Muslim, but he will not. Daniel says he will regard the God of forces, which he will worship. God of forces. Is that military? Probably. Wealth? Without a question. So that's what he's going to honor, but he doesn't worship that because he one day will sit on the Ark of the Covenant. That's the golden throne. That's the golden chair that at that time will be in the Holy of Holies in Jerusalem in the temple, which will be, I believe, a tabernacle. And when he sits on the golden throne, that is called the Abomination of Desolation, and that is signals the middle of the tribulation. You can put an X on your calendar. 1,260 days later, Jesus returns. That's the whole point of all of the counting of Daniel chapter in Daniel chapter 11 and a little of it in Daniel chapter 12. Okay, so where is he going to come from? All right, the Bible says it gives us some pretty specific directions on where we can look from this guy. Okay, so we go to Daniel chapter 11 and we look up verse 2. It tells you where the Antichrist comes from. Real simple. It's not even difficult. Look at this. It says, and now, I will show you the truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be far richer than they all. And by his strength, through his riches, he will stir up all against the realm of Grecia. Okay, so what did that just say? It just told us that the Antichrist comes from Persia. And it just told us that the Antichrist comes from Grecia. No, wait. Does it come from Persia? Or does he come from Grecia? Well, that's like saying Wichita, Kansas. Is Wichita in Kansas? Yes, it is. Is Wichita also in the United States? Yes, it is. Is Wichita also in the North American continent? Yes, it is. Okay, it's the same thing. So if you take a map of Persia and you see the largest outgoing boundaries of Persia, and at one time, Persia was a very large empire. And if you lay that overview on a map, then you find the realm of Grecia, and if you overlay them, then you've got a good start. And the reason I say is because if you follow these scriptures down to verse 21, it says, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person. That's the Antichrist. It never changes geographical area. It never changes the bloodline that it is following. It's the whole purpose of Daniel chapter 11 is to show you where the Antichrist comes from. So it stands up a vile person, and it goes on to say, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably. A lot of people think, oh, the Antichrist, well, he's going to conquer us. He's going to be a conquering king. No, he's not. He gets his kingdom peaceably, and it goes on to say, excuse me, and he will obtain the kingdom by flatteries. What is flatteries? It's compliments. Now, I think it's very interesting that, for example, the fellow that heads up Iraq right now, Morsi, I believe his name is, got the position because of flatteries. He was appointed And, of course, we said he was elected, but rest assured, he was appointed to that position. He goes on to say, let me jump down to verse 24. And he, talking about the Antichrist, shall enter peaceably upon the fattest places of the province. Well, what is fattest? Well, you push F10 on my Bible program, and it pulls up the Hebrew word for there, and it's mashman. That's one of the primary words in the Bible for crude oil. I believe one of the first things the Antichrist is going to want to do when he arrives in Israel, he's going to want to go see those massive crude oil fields, those oil fields that are pumping, because at that time, Israel will be by far the largest producer of oil on the earth. I found 30 scriptures in the Bible that say in the last days, massive amounts of oil will be discovered in Israel. It will build up Israel's military for her military victory in World War III. She will get back all of her land from the Euphrates all the way over to the Nile, and that will probably include all of Saudi Arabia. So we know that he comes from Persia. We know he comes from Greece. However, in Daniel chapter 2, the statue is also putting him coming from the Roman Empire. So you look up another map of the Roman Empire, and you overlay those maps, and you find out that actually, see, because you've got to be from all three of them, okay? You find out that actually there's a very small area that is common to Persia, Greece, and Rome, okay? And that area is Turkey, all of Syria, and the kind of the western northern area of Iraq. So, scripturally, the Antichrist must come from either Turkey, Syria, or Iraq. Now, why do I eliminate Turkey? Because the only place I find Turkey of any significance in end-time Bible prophecies, they are one of the nations that comes down to attack Israel at the Battle of Armageddon, Ezekiel 38 and 39. Okay, in my opinion, we can look at either Syria or Iraq. Which nation comes up to be the best here? All right, now let me pull this up here. I've got several things.
I've got something I could comment on if you want.
Go ahead. Go for it.
Right now, I've talked to a lot of people about, you know, this Islamic Mahdi and Iran, and specifically about them waiting for it, and they're expecting their Mahdi to come from Iraq, and not that that means anything to this, but it just seems like that might make them real acceptable to who you're talking about.
Yes, as a matter of fact, that is part of what I want to talk about. All right, so let's first look at what are the possibilities of the Antichrist coming from Syria. I found my notes. Okay. First of all, the Assyrian, when you look up those two words, the Assyrian in Scripture in the Old Testament, you find out that that is one of the names of the Antichrist. And, of course, the root word for Assyria is Syria, okay? Assyria, Syria, okay? So that makes it pretty high in the possibilities that Syria would be one of the nations he might come from. Secondly, the kings of Syria have long been Israel's primary enemy. The final battle between Jacob and Esau is Armageddon, and of course Syria is mostly Arab. The descendants of Esau and Ishmael are the Arab nations. Esau's primary dwelling has been north and the northeast area of Israel, as in Syria. Damascus becomes a ruinous heap associated with Armageddon. Syria is one of the nations in the common area. Syria was in the Grecian, Persian, and Roman empires, thus one of the nations in the common area. It is north of Israel, lending it to be probably the king of the north, at least I believe so. All right, now, what about the possibility of Iraq? Well, if I had to choose right now between Syria or Iraq, Stan, which one do you think the Antichrist comes from? You got to choose one or the other. Then I'm going to choose Iraq, and here's why. One, when the book of Daniel was written, Daniel was living in Babylon, i.e. Iraq. And I believe that the whole book of Daniel was really not written for Daniel's day. It was really written for our day. And I'll come back and talk about that more. Nebuchadnezzar was from Iraq, actually living in Iraq. Nebuchadnezzar also appears in the scriptures associated with Armageddon in another scripture. The 12th Imam which is what Dan was just saying there, which is going to be the Mahdi, is supposed to ascend from a well in Qum, Iran. The book of Daniel, all the visions and dreams were given in Iraq, i.e. Iran. The primary minister in Iraq is appointed by favor of flatteries. I already mentioned that. So if you summarize all of those reasons, I think that there's the Antichrist not coming from America. He's probably coming from Iraq or Iran. Excuse me, Iraq or Syria. Probably Iraq. Now, does that answer your question, or should I continue?
Yeah, we'll continue, but I have a question for you. I'm curious, out of the four horsemen, or one of the four horsemen, the Antichrist?
Yes, absolutely.
Which one?
No, I believe he is going to be the pale horse. The reason I say that is because colors have meaning. When you go in and study what is inside the Holy of Holies, associated with the Holy of Holies, almost everything inside there is blue. I believe that blue is God's color. Then if you go and you look at the color red, you find that red is associated with the dragon. Revelation says the red dragon. Red is like the communism of China, the communism of Russia. Every place you see red, it is associated, like, for example, the red star of communism. So red is Satan's color. It is communism. And green, if you go to the Middle East, every place you go in the Middle East, you'll find that almost every gate is a green gate, and many of the buildings have green roofs. And they're not green because copper turned green. They're green because they were designed and painted to be green, because green, I believe, is representative of Arabs, representative of the beast, of the Antichrist, of Islam, of Arabs. And in Daniel chapter 7, there's four beasts. The third beast is the leopard. I believe that the leopard is talking about Islam. Then if you go to Revelation 13, I'll come back and talk about the leopard in a second, too. Revelation 13, 1 talks about a beast coming up out of the sea. It has the feet of a bear, Russia, has the head of lions, several lions, and then without getting into that, I believe that's England, but the body is the leopard. Okay, now, what's the leopard? Well, finding out who the leopard is in Daniel chapter 7, verse 6 is actually real easy. All you got to do is go to Google Maps, or just Google this, and just pull up where the leopards live. You get a map of it. And then if you want to, you can print out that map. And then you go and you get a map of where the Muslims live. And you overlay those two maps, and you find out that the outlying areas are almost exactly the same. Where the Muslims live is where the leopards live. Then you Google a little bit more to find out what is the personality of the leopard. And you find out what the personality of Islam is, the Muslim. And you find out that they have almost the same breeding habits. Sorry.
That's okay.
Same breeding habits, the same living habits, the same hunting habits, everything as the Muslims. Muslims are leopard with, it's not even hard to figure it out, okay? Now, I was just talking to someone earlier today, and they say, oh, well, we believe that the tribulation start in 2018. I said, I'm telling you, that's not going to happen. The reason that's not going to happen, and I'm going to a long time, but I'll just keep it brief. One is the Bible very clearly says in Daniel chapter 2 that Jesus returns when we see the 2 feet, part of iron, part of clay. Part of iron meaning the Roman Empire, part of clay meaning Islam. Because you look up the word there for clay, and the word in the Hebrew is Arab, as in Arab, okay? So there is no question it's talking about a Roman Empire and a Muslim empire that matches also with Daniel 7:6, that matches Revelation 13:1, the beast coming up out of the sea. So all of these things have to fit together, or you got the wrong picture. So we see the statue, and it has 2 feet, part of iron, part of clay. It has 10 toes, meaning that there's going to be the final world government, because the whole statue is talking about world governments. There'll be a final world government with 10 toes, meaning they divide the 7 continents into 10 global regions. You go over to 13:1 Revelation, you find that the beast out of the sea, talking about the same thing, has 7 heads, 10 global regions divided into to seven continents divided into 10 global regions. I can explain that if you want to, but let me stay on subject. Then in Daniel chapter 7, it talks about the four beasts. Well, the fourth beast is world government. You can't have the fourth beast until you have the third beast. So we know that the third beast now is Islam. But that leopard has four heads, four wings. What are the heads? The heads is the leader. What are the wings? That represents land masses. So it's saying that there's going to be four nations that live within the leopard area that will work together. It will be one leopard, one unit work together, but it'll have four heads. What are those nations? They are Libya, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Iran. Now, wait a minute, Stan. You just said four nations, but you just counted off five nations. Is it four or is it five? The answer is it's four nations, because Iraq and Iran represent the arms of silver in Daniel chapter 2, meaning that prophetically, Iraq, Iran prophetically count as one nation. So we see that Libya, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Iran will work together to become a caliphate. Now, Iran is already a caliphate nation. It's already a Sharia law Islamic state. What we have just done, what America has done over the last couple of years with the Arab Spring, we have removed the democratic nation or the democratic leadership that was installed after World War II in Libya and Egypt, and it is in the process of being replaced with the Muslim Brotherhood or the Sharia law, or it's making it a leopard state. And the whole beef over there now with Syria is that Syria is resisting. And when we pull out of Iraq, you watch and see if I'm not right, when we pull out of Iraq, we will allow them to be a Sharia law, Muslim Brotherhood, Islamic State like Iran. Meaning, we will see Libya, Egypt, Syria, Iraq, Iran be a caliphate. Those five nations, prophetically four nations, will work together. Those will be the nations that will attack Israel in World War III, which starts World War III. America sends troops, and that's when Russia attacks and defeats America in a day. In an hour, such great riches will come to naught. The fall of America will start with an eternal revolution.
Okay, it's time to break in. We've got about a minute to go before break, and Stan, so please give your website real quick, and we'll go to break.
It is prophecyclub.com. Prophecyclub.com.
Yep, that's it. Prophecy Club. It's been that for a number of years. I don't know why I laughed. I guess just because I've known Stan for so long. And, folks, it's something to ponder on. All this talk about green, we'll have Stan answer our question when we get back, and we'll give him time to think about it. Stan, as my going-out question, you can think about. I've been watching Comet Ison so much, and you know what? It turned green the other day, and so all the pictures of it right now are showing it green. And some comets previously have became green and stayed green all the way through. I wonder if that means anything. We'll ask when we come back in 3 minutes.
Order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be Your Own Doctor, for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Call Doc Mike direct at 708-488-8887. Or go to wakeupwell.org. That's wakeupwell.org to order Doc Mike's book, How to Practice Medicine Without a License. Be Your Own Doctor, for only $14.95, plus $2 postage and handling. Or call 708-488-8887. That's 708-488-8887. Order now.
homes being foreclosed, unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886. Studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com, Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Mission Watch live on the American Voice Radio Network. Please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. Support us so we can care for the people that the Father sends us. We get no help from any organized churches or government agencies, and it is only folks like you that have supported us for the last church that make this mission church work. And I do know one church that does help us, but I don't want to spoil their blessing, so I don't want to give their name. But, folks, we've been painting and getting the woman's shelter ready to go, and we just got a real setback by what I'll call a break-in. Somebody that was supposed to be watching the place, whatever. Anyway, all the tools and materials that we had over there was taken. All the paint, everything. And so, you know, we came to a halt. Things that we had bought, we need to rebuy. So we need your prayers and support. Prayers, number one, to protect that place, because while we're a small ministry, we don't have a huge congregation of intercessors to pray for us, and that's really important that we have intercessors to pray for us. But we need your prayers and support. If you have any fundraising ideas, please let us know. It's getting colder outside, and the agencies and the police keep sending women to us who need to be inside. I believe that it's really cruel and really evil to see all the money in and businesses that go to businesses and churches in Wichita. They funnel money to agencies that say they're caring for everyone. That's the evil part of it. When they lie and they know that they're lying and say they're caring for everyone, but clearly they are not. If they were caring for everyone, then why do their own people send them to us? Why do the police bring them to us? It really doesn't make any sense. These same agencies that roadblock our efforts to get the woman's shelter open because of this fable that the news media pushes forth for them, and the people of Wichita believe it hook, line, and sinker. Right now, we need your prayers to break through this and to get the funding we need. The funding also to keep the mission church open. Now in our 14th year, we've helped thousands upon thousands of people with clothing, food, Bible, shoes, first aid, the gospel. The list goes on and on. And one of the most important things beyond the gospel is miracle prayers. So why do many people come for us for help? Well, love, that's the first answer. Treated as family is the second. And beyond that, we have no set guidelines like programs. People just walk in the door and ask. That's the rule. Then if we do not find the way to or have the way in front of us to fill the need, we pray it in. This is why, again, their agencies tell their employees about the Father's Little Mission Church. You see, when guidelines stop them from helping, they send them to us. People who have millions of dollars in their budget send people to a place that really has no budget. We are the very last hope for so many. We are responsible to care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. All donations, no matter what size, does help. And your Father notices all donations that come from your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order, and you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. And remember, folks, radio needs your support, too, because airtime isn't cheap. But you can also call me at 620-878-4682. And now we are back with Stan Johnson, the founder of the Prophecy Club. There with me, Stan.
Yes, I'm here.
I bet you were snacking. No, I'm joking. Anyway.
Actually, I was coughing. I got something down the wrong pipe.
Oh, okay. All right.
A bite of food.
Okay. Anyway, that's all right. Folks, I can laugh with him. I have known him almost 20 years, I think. So we're kind of used to each other. Anyway, Stan, going out, I kind of asked you a question that I wanted you to answer because I believe that on the Internet, it's going to start popping up because I saw it turn green, and I think we might get some feedback from it, not saying there's anything to it being green or not. You any thoughts on it?
Well, I'm not. I've just heard from you that I saw it turn green, but here's what I do think is important about comets. May 25th, 1997, Virginia Boldea, which is Dimitri Dudeman's daughter, had a vision. I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'll just read the part about the comets. Excuse me. She said she saw a handful of comets in the sky, which looked to be peaceful. Then suddenly, three of them, all different sizes, began to head toward the Earth. Now, I'll ask you, Dan, you've seen close-ups of Comet Ison. What does it look like? Is it one comet, or does it look like it might be three or have some three aspects to it?
Well, it depends on which pictures you look at it. Some pictures show it in three pieces or three kind of connected pieces to it, while others just, you know, it depends on the camera, just shows there's one. But it could possibly be three.
Okay, well, apparently the prophecy says, first, there's a handful of comets. In other words, not just one, but comets do mean something. So when we see a handful of comets in the sky, and then it says we'll see three of them, different sizes, head toward the Earth and hit the Earth, hit the ground. She says she saw total devastation. She says the sky turned black, and I saw thunder. The thunder was also black. The dark cloud lifted up, and it began to rain. When I looked closer, I saw it was not rain. It was actually drops of blood. Yuck, okay? As I looked to my left, I saw another man standing on another cloud. This is one of the angels came to her to give her this vision. He was very tall, dressed in white, with his hands raised up. Each time he moved his hands, fireballs would come out of his fingers. I looked awestruck at the man's height and the way his face shone and radiated. Then a powerful voice said, "Remember what I have shown you. This will be the beginning of the pain that I will allow upon the earth." He repeated the phrase again. Then he said, "Remember what I've shown you. This will be the beginning of the pain that I will allow upon the earth. You prepare yourself. Be strong. Draw close to me with fasting and prayer." Now, I think that's real important. Here we have Comet Ison coming in. So is this going to be like the beginning of a handful of comets? Is this saying that eventually three comets are going to hit the Earth? And apparently it kills so many people that it's not raining water, but it's raining drops of blood? Appears so. So, yeah, I think we need to be watching these comets.
Well, you know, this year, and I'll tell you and folks, but you probably heard me say it before when we do the news on your program. This year, a lot of people say is a year for comets and meteors because we've had an unprecedented amount of meteors come into the Earth, and one, in fact, killed a couple in Ohio recently when it hit their house and caught the house on fire and they burnt to death. And that was just, I think, last week. But there's been a lot of them. And the comets or the meteors that are coming in, Stan, aren't ones that they usually spot. The ones that we spot don't seem to have any effect on us thus far. The reason, folks, that I thought this comet was important is because of the brightness of it. You know, Stan, it's supposed to be, everything pans out, it's supposed to be brighter than the full moon. That in itself, is that some kind of a sign, you think, or no?
Well, of course, the Bible says that there's going to be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, and men's hearts failing them for fear, for looking after those things that come upon the earth.
Well, amen. So let's take this in another direction. Stan, is America Mystery Babylon, and does it look like our time's coming, or do you think we have a while if we are indeed Babylon?
Well, I don't think there's any question that America is the Mystery Babylon, and I'm prepared to go through a couple of scriptures and show you folks why it is. Now, there's a big debate about this because a lot of folks want to say, oh, well, America is not in Bible prophecy, and that way they can just go back to sleep. Now, the problem is we are in prophecy. Matter of fact, I've made a DVD called America in Prophecy, and I explain all this, but essentially there's six chapters. Here are the chapters that you can find are talking about America in Bible prophecy. Revelation 18, excuse me, I'm about to cover part of that. Jeremiah chapter 50 and 51, Isaiah 13, 21, and 47. I'll repeat them. Revelation 18, Jeremiah 50 and 51, both chapters, Isaiah 13, 21, and 47. Now, let's go to keep it brief here. Let's go to Revelation 18. And after these things, I saw an angel come down from heaven having great power, and the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried with a mighty strong voice, saying, Babylon the Great is fallen, is fallen. Now, what is this, is fallen, is fallen? Well, actually, if you look up is fallen, related to Babylon, you find out that it's found three times in the Bible. As the Bible said, and now to two or three witnesses, let a thing be established. So this is established. Babylon has two falls. That's what it's saying. God just didn't put extra words in his Bible for nothing. When he says, is fallen, it means that America falls twice. The first fall is at the beginning of World War III. I believe it's someplace on, around, or in the ballpark, or shortly after. I'm not trying to set a date. Somewhere in the ballpark of 2020, as in not too many years away. That fall is because of sins in the church. That is the Russians attacking America. The second fall is at the very end when Jesus returns. That's America being burned up. When Jesus returns, by his glory, being blown down to the earth, and that is because she has shed the blood of saints and prophets and of all that were slain upon the earth. There's four different verses that talk about how many people, how many Christians will be slain. Let me say it again. The first destruction of this nation is the Russians attacking America because of sins in the church. The second one is at the Battle of Armageddon, at the very end, the day of the Lord, when Jesus returns, and it's Jesus destroying the people left in America because they have shed the blood of apostles, prophets, and saints. In other words, because America turns into a Christian-killing machine. Excuse me. Man, I got something down my throat, and I just can't seem to get over it here. But I'm determined to do this. And if you want me to explain about why America turns into a Christian killing machine, and I can, and by the way, that also ties into why our guns will be collected, then I'll be happy to show you that too. But right now we're on American prophecy. So Babylon the Great has fallen. Two destructions falling upon this nation. And has become the habitation of devils and the hold of every foul spirit and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. Well, look at what America has done. She's taken the prayer out of the schools. She's removed the sodomy laws. And now just about anything evil is able to be done. There's filth on TV, filth in our movies, filth in the businesses. We're allowing homosexual marriage, same-sex marriage, sodomy, abortions. And there's all kinds of wickedness in America. In other words, the church is not standing up to fight off the evil. The church is doing nothing. No, I've said this several times on my program. In my 60 years on this earth, I have, in the last 50 years, I cannot tell you that I have seen the church win one battle nationally. Not one. We have lost every battle, and the basic reason we lose every battle is because we don't show up to fight. Well, why doesn't the church show up to fight? That's a very good question. The church doesn't fight because the church doesn't think the church has to, because the pastors are telling a people a lie. They're telling them that they don't have to worry about all this trouble coming because Jesus is going to come in the sky and suck them off the earth, and they aren't going to have to go through any trouble because there's going to be a pre-trib rapture. Wrong.
Stan, that's poison. Let me pipe in for a second, and I agree with you totally. There is another reason, folks, that you need to listen why the pre-trib rapture is such poison. Why? And it makes sense. Why should they worry about it when they don't believe they're going to be here for any of the trouble? So why should they have to stand up against any of the things that are coming? And it's also why, Stan, you know that most pastors in the churches across America will not talk about all the Christians that are being slaughtered across the world, and that's because it doesn't fit in with their little scenario that if they believe in Jesus, everything will be just fine for them. Back to you.
Well, if we've got a second, I'll cover, matter of fact, maybe I'll just jump in here and cover these three quick verses that will absolutely, positively kill pre-trib, mid-trib, and pre-wrath rapture. It tears it up totally. It cannot be. And, you know, we don't have to find 36 scriptures to kill the pre-trib rapture. All we have to do is find one from the Bible that says it's not going to happen. Well, here's three of them, okay? Anyway, Job 14, 12, 13, and 14, three verses. Job says, so man lieth down and riseth not. In other words, when he's put in the grave, he doesn't come out of the grave. So man lieth down and riseth not till the heavens be no more. They shall not wake nor be raised out of their sleep. Now, essentially what that just said is when you go into the grave, you're not coming out of that grave. Nobody's coming out of that grave until the heavens be no more. Well, when is it that the heavens are no more? Well, that's going to be 2 Peter 3:10 when the elements melt with fervent heat. That's the day of the Lord when Jesus returns in power and great glory. That's not pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath. Next verse, verse 13. Oh, that thou wouldest hide me in the grave, that thou wouldest keep me secret. Now listen to this. Until thy wrath be past, that thou wouldest appoint me a set time and remember me. What is the wrath? Here's the wrath. When Jesus returns, he blows his glory down. With the breath of his nostrils, he brandishes his sword. He burns up the tares. He thoroughly purges his floor. He kills everyone that is not washed in the blood. Meaning, no one is coming out of the grave until the burning is over. There is no pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath rapture. Third verse. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. What change? That's when out of our belly flows rivers of living water, and then out of our belly, all of a sudden, we flame on, because as that glory hits the center, they fall to the ground in a pile of ashes and bones. Malachi 4:3 says there'll be ashes under the soles of our feet. And Zechariah 14:12 says the eyes consume out of the sockets, the tongue consumes out of the mouth, the flesh consumes off the bone before the people even hit the ground, okay? That change is when the glory hits the one washed in the blood. All of a sudden, they flame on. They glow. Daniel 12:4 says they glow like sun, like the stars, those that have turned many to righteousness. So we glow. We never die again, never hurt again. We never thirst again. We never sin again. We never age again from the moment that glory hits us. And when does that take place? In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, when Jesus returns on the one day, one evening, one morning, the day of the Lord, the day the rapture takes place. There is no pre-trib, mid-trib, pre-wrath rapture. Nobody is going to get saved when Jesus returns. That Daniel chapter 7 says the books are open, the beast is slain, Jesus returns on the clouds, and it's over. Meaning that before Jesus is seen in the clouds, the judgment is set. Meaning no one gets saved when Jesus returns again. He's not returning as a lamb. He's not returning as a savior. He's returning as a judge. Okay, so let's go back to America in Bible prophecy. Now, we were in Revelation 18:3. A lot of people say, now, wait a minute. There are more Christians in America. Why would God judge America? Now, wait a minute. There are more good people in America than any other nation on earth. Why would God judge America? Okay, here's your answer. It says, for all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Well, what in the world does that mean? It means that we were the nation that took the Bible around the globe and got blessed for it. Now we're the nation that are taking the filth around the globe through our movies, our music, our printed matter, through the way that we live. All the nation have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In other words, all the nations have gone away from God the way America has. America used to get blessed for getting people to turn to God. Now, because we've turned the nations away, that's why God judges. Yeah, but okay, but how come God judges America so harshly? The answer is found November the 11th, 1620. Before our forefathers even got off of the boat, they wrote up a thing called the Mayflower Compact, in which they made a covenant with God to form a new nation, quote, for the furtherance of the Christian faith, unquote. That means that we fell into a different set of rules. Israel made their covenant at the base of Mount Sinai when God spoke audibly to them, if you'll be my people, I'll be your God. America spoke to God in the Mayflower Covenant and said, we're going to start a new nation for the furtherance of the gospel of Jesus, or for the furtherance of the Christian faith, to get the quote right. And that made us fall under the Deuteronomy 28, Leviticus 26, found two different places, list of blessings. If you read those blessings, it says, for the nation that follows my law, I will make them the head and not the tail. They'll be the lender, not the borrower. They'll be blessed when they come in, blessed when they go out. Blessed in the field, blessed in the womb, blessed, 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 blessed. But if that nation that has called me God turns against me, then it has a list of about 40 verses of curses. You'll be the tail, not the head. You will be the borrower and not the lender. Right now, do you know what nation is the largest borrower on earth? What nation is $17 trillion in debt? What nation is right now having its government shut down because they can't even agree on not spending more money than they have? This is America. I won't talk about three scriptures.
It's just bad. We're supposed to be the greatest superpower in the world. We can't even keep our national parks open or so on and so forth. Actually, we probably could if it wasn't for this president. But, yeah, you're right, Stan. Sorry I laughed.
Well, all right, let me wrap it up. I know we're running out of time with these last two verses. This is America. How much she has glorified herself, and lived deliciously. So much torment and sorrow give her. This is Revelation 18:7. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and I am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. You see, that's what the churches are saying right now. Look, I'm not going to go through any trouble. I'm a queen. I'm not going to see any trouble. I'm not a widow. I'm never going to go through any trouble. That's the pre-trib doctrine out there. Okay, verse 8. Therefore, shall her plagues come in one day, death, mourning, and famine, and she shall be utterly burned with fire, I'll say nuclear fire, for strong is the Lord who judgeth her. Dimitri Dudeman was told by the angel Gabriel, the fall of America will start with an internal revolution started by the communists. Some of the people will start fighting against the government. The government will be busy with internal problems. Then from the oceans, Russia, Cuba, Nicaragua, Central America, Mexico, and two of the countries will attack and defeat America in one day, in 1 hour, such great riches will come to naught. Then God will raise up China and Japan and many of the nations. They'll go against the Russians. They'll defeat the Russians. They'll back the Russians to the gates of Paris where they sign a peace treaty, but they make the Russians their leader. Then, under the leadership of the Russians, all the world goes down to attack little Israel. Israel can't count on the help of the Jews in America, so she cries for Messiah. Messiah returns on the clouds and defeats the armies of the earth. There you go.
That pretty much wraps it up. There is so much more about this, and folks, you really need to visit the Prophecy Club because, you know, while we talk on radio and some of you might listen to part of it going or coming from work or listening on your satellite or maybe downloading it on your cell phone, there are some great DVDs that really explain these positions, and it is nothing like sitting down in front of the TV set with your family and friends and showing it to them. You know, because while we used to be a nation that read books, then we became a nation that was an audio nation. Now we're becoming a nation that wants audio and visual. And so you should really go to theprophecyclub.com and check out those videos. Well, Stan, it was great to have you on with me, and thanks for the sacrifice today you made to be here.
You're welcome.
I know. All right.
Thanks for having me on.
All right.
I love talking prophecy.
Okay, I appreciate you. Well, I'm going to let you go. Goodbye and be blessed, my brother.
All right. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, folks, I still do the news with him a couple of programs a week. I started doing that back because his audience requested that we continue to do the news. We quit it for a couple of months over the summer, and he had a lot of feedback that they wanted to hear the news program. So go over and listen to me present the news. And, of course, I don't agree with everything Stan says or even says on this program. But these are all food that you need to take for thought, and you need to pray over them. You need to decide what's right and what's wrong, because hear no man, but hear the Holy Spirit. But it is a time in which we do need to get ready. And I do believe we're much, much closer than Stan or a lot of people think. Anyway, so pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. Remember, folks, we must always, always, always be a blessing to others. We must remember, folks, that there is only one God. Yes, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach, and he gave his life for repentant sins. He rose after 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth, and only through him, and only through him is the way to the Father. Remember, the 3 days and three nights, when he was asked what sign was given for a wicked and adulterous generation, it was but the sign of Noah, which as Noah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. That's not a day and a half in a little while. So anybody, that's the gospel. So if anybody preaches a gospel other than what we preach, they preach another Yeshua or another Jesus. So you need to pray about that. Remember, folks, we do really, really need your help. Pray about supporting the Wichita Mission Church. And if you could make a sacrificial donation, it would really be a big help, because we just need your help, folks. Remember to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, and all your soul. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Lord our God, Father, King of the universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace. Well, until an hour from now, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for Messiah's Branch.